Yo, you listening to the Oprah Rose Show with TT and Gigi, and yeah, get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
She's a slut, she's a hoe, she's this, she's that.
We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much.
It's about people being uncomfortable with women owning their sexuality.
What is the truest, highest vision that you hold for yourself?
I'm a real ass bitch, and I'm gonna get everything that I'm gonna get on my own.
I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. You get what you believe.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
What's up? What's up?
I'm TT.
I'm Gigi.
And I'm DD.
And this is episode 222 of the Oprah Rose Show.
I didn't even hear your accent when you
I
just
know,
said
I
it.
Literally, that's why you saw
it. Yeah. I was waiting for it.
I was waiting for like, and I was like, did I, my, when I say it's singular, I feel like my twos are very strong. So they're not as strong as most people from Baltimore, but whatever.
You digress.
Yeah, I digress. But yeah, 222.
That's the number two. As big February energy.
It is.
It is.
Yep, it definitely is.
And
another angel
February.
Number.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm in my personal year of two.
What does
if
that
you followed
mean?
Like numbers? Right. So okay. There's like a in the world of like numerology, there is like energy that flows in each number, one okay. through nine, and I think 11 and 12, maybe,
okay.
or 11, something like that. But each number has its own like vibration, and there is like a universal year or a universal number that happens with just like the energy. But then you also have your own personal year or your own personal number that you go through.
How do you so find this out?
You do your birthday.
Okay.
So I am 11, 12, 85. You add up 11 and then 12 and then 85. And then that's how you kind of like determine.
You just have to keep going to the single
yeah,
number.
Yeah, but you have to keep going to a single number.
Okay.
And then you also have to calculate the whatever the universal number is too. That also plays a part in your personal number.
Have you played the lottery with the number two?
I haven't, because I think it's multiple numbers. You mean like, did I just do like two for all the numbers? That's a good idea. Fuck it, because when but that's
you don't even
got to
do a box.
Because when does that happen?
You can do two straight.
But when does that happen? That's when very
improbable.
Yeah,
very
that
improbable.
Actually doesn't never seem happened. Like a really good.
Sorry.
Meanwhile, like, rate, subscribe, yeah. tell a friend. We are so excited today.
We are
to have. This is my Twitter friend. I have never met him in my life. And we were having a conversation. And I actually think, Didi, you recommended Shannon_Sense, as I'm saying your whole Twitter name.
Because Shannon got sense.
Right. Okay. Shannon_Sense.
Try to bring the common sense to the Twitterverse.
You know,
the
timeline. That's
a tough job, baby.
Yeah, it's not. And it's not chaotic.
He does it.
Some fights are too high.
Yeah, it's definitely not like a chaotic energy.
No.
And you are a creative designer /hyphenate. It's giving a multi-hyphenate creative director stylist. Thank you.
A girl who has
vision. Pleasure.
Okay.
Gotta have vision. Gotta know where you're going.
Love. A must. So how did you get started styling and did you become a multi-hyphenate?
Well, my first jobs in fashion were as a designer, but it's like, it goes back further than that because it was sort of like one of those things where like in black families, sometimes they don't want you to work in fashion because they have all their like sort of like preconceived notions about it. So then I learned like sort of other skills. I went to school for graphic design, different things like that. But the thing that I like about like sort of like a career journey is that each thing that you learn, you bring it along with you.
Yeah.
And it just sort of like makes your skills stronger, like what you can bring to a client. So even though I didn't go the traditional route of like going to a fashion school, it's like me not going allowed me to develop sort of my own style and not sort of like a teacher directed style.
Okay. Mm.
So then you have like your own, you kind of know what you're about in a different sense than other students do. And I first went to, it got into design sort of like a roundabout way because I hadn't gone to design school, but I was interested in being a designer. So designer was the first thing. Mm-hmm. And I basically entered a contest that we had in New York. We used to have this thing in New York called Metro Channels. And it was sort of like TV One, but you could watch fashion shows on it. and you could see like the news and like the weather on another channel. And every fashion week, you could sort of like tune into there and you could just watch the shows.
Wow. Okay.
So they did a contest for like undiscovered designers, and I sort of like submitted sketches. And then I won the contest.
Local Project Runway.
Right, right. So it was just like only sketches. I didn't have to make no clothes because I never sewed. Mm-hmm. But I knew how to draw. So that's what sort of like illustration comes into play. And I just submitted some sketches and swatches. And I won like $10,000 and got like a few like commercial promos that were running. And then that's how I got my first job in fashion. We were like going to a fur house to like pick an accessories for a shoot of a commercial shoot that they were doing to promote the contest. And the woman was like, oh, I think like you should come in and work 2 weeks and like do sketches. And I worked there for like 2 years.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
You seem to be really content with your journey, but was there ever a moment where you felt, I guess, inadequate because you didn't go to fashion school and get like that experience of sewing and like a teacher guided experience for where you currently are now?
To a certain extent, yes, but then to a certain extent, no, because I knew that there were certain things that being in a like a white driven industry that they were going to like expect you not to know. Mm. So then I taught myself those things as sort of like references. I remember there used to be T Magazine, which is like the New York Times magazine.
They don't have that anymore?
It's still around, but it used to be called Fashion of the Times.
Oh, okay.
And they did a movie issue. And a lot of fashion you will look at and you will say, like, how did they come up with these ideas? Where are these thoughts? But the more you delve into research, the more you realize that you just haven't seen the references yet. So you will think of these people as being like, oh my God, like the way that they're thinking is on such another level. Where can they think of that? But it's because they're heavily referencing things that they've seen. Mm. So this was like a movie issue. And they basically had just asked every designer in the business, like, what was their 10 fashion movies that inspired them? And back in the days when like Netflix used to send you like discs.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember I used to sell it at Sam Goody. Used to sell that subscription.
I thought you meant you used to sell the ones that came to your house.
Like, the subscription.
I used to sell that Netflix subscription.
I went on the computer and I like entered every movie on that like huge list. It was like maybe like in the end like 200 something movies. And I just entered all those things in the queue and I would just get three, watch it, and then another ones would come, and then sort of like build like sort of like the foundation of your reference, watching like weird foreign films, this, that, to sort of like just build up. So you could never like sort of be in a job and someone say, oh, well, you know, sometimes white people in the business will say, oh, well, you know, like give me something like, you know, like Grey Gardens or Belle de Jour. And it's sort of like a shorthand to be like, okay, you don't know.
It's a prereq to know about the fashion.
But often
I'm like, what is this?
Right. But often they'll come across black creatives and it's sort of like a way of weeding you out. Because like, oh, you don't really know about that. You're just referencing like the black things you know. And then it's like, oh, yeah, in this scene. Like, oh, you want to do this? And then they gag because like, you know that too.
So you like did the research to really figure out. So it's almost like while you didn't get the school's teaching in that respect, you developed your own style and like what that looked like on film as well.
Correct. And then the other thing is that I also was always buying magazines and books. So basically at this point now, I live in like basically a library because I've just been collecting my whole life, just buying books and magazines. And it's just—
Do you have any suede magazines?
I do.
I've been trying to find them. I looked last night.
I actually have another Instagram account called Massive Cover Up that's just my archive.
Okay.
And one of
those are your actual magazines that you own.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
You're not referencing the photos.
Because you know what? We're in this time where everyone is sort of like an archivist, like, you know, like posting like things that they found on Tumblr.
Right.
And I love Tumblr, but they don't often know like the context when they find a photo.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if they find a Vibe photo, like, oh, this is like a dope picture from Vibe or from Suede. They don't often know the times that that picture existed in. So they don't understand, like, and especially not looking at the whole magazine, the climate that that imagery came out in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you own the whole magazine, you sort of see, like, oh, I see an Echo ad, I see a this, that. And then you sort of, like, can more shape the idea of, like, what climate this is coming in, you know. So owning the whole magazine, and one of the first posts was Suede.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. So I had like three issues I posted all at once.
I want them so bad. It is, I can't find them anywhere.
And being around in New York a long time, I remember going to a party for it. For the magazine, it got to be like a big deal. And I guess Time Warner had like bought them and they had this like big, huge, like fabulous.
There was so they party. Spent. They spent my first. Well, one of my second bosses was the editor. She was okay, one of the editors there.
Yeah, they did this big, so fabulous party to like say we're here, and then like 2 weeks later they were gone.
Oh no! It was so short. I wanted to work in magazines and fashion, happened? So I kept them. They spent so much money. Like the shoots were.
Oh.
I mean, but they were such top quality. I had printouts like in my college dorm of like certain things or like what I was trying to manifest before it was a thing and it never really came to fruition.
You tiptoed.
What?
Into fashion. No, but like
I wanted to be, funny enough, I wanted to be Umindi Francis. I'll never forget her name. And I met her in person and was like, I'm obsessed with you. Mind you, she's like the global director at Bottega Veneta. That is what I wanted to do. And so I had like her on my wall, Redden and Essence. And then I had all my little cutouts from Suede and Vibe and everything. And I don't think she don't do that no more. But I did like a little quick stint and was like, I kept trying to leave music. I would go to fashion. I was like,
okay,
this is actually extremely boring. And it's even whiter than music.
Magazines are crazy.
It was really insane. Crazy business. Yeah. And then it was like, and I kept doing it. I would come and go back and who knows where I'll end up next.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a long journey. I say that any creative's journey is like, you know, you're going through all different things. Even when you're just doing one thing, it sort of evolves and changes.
Yeah.
And so when I was designing, it was just a different climate, like for Black designers. They just weren't as accepting. And even of Black people in the business, when you met them, you know, like if you're trying to get your business or trying to get funding, they'd be like, oh, well, like my cousin wants to get in fashion and like I'll give you the money if you like do it with them. And it's like, no, I don't even know them. Like,
right.
I don't even know what they do. But now it's like, I'm so happy for the Black designers doing it now because they have like a different climate that their sort of work is born into.
Yeah.
You know, I would go to, you know, Vogue and show like my collection, you know, like and meet with somebody there and they would be like, you know, oh, well, has so-and-so seen your work or has this person seen your work? It was like sort of only certain gatekeepers that you could get in through because it was very few people in Black and fashion. Yeah. And then so eventually I just got tired of that and I stopped. And then I did a streetwear brand with my sister and that went really well, but we were doing it anonymously. And I said I was tired of like sort of not like making my name in the business. Mm-hmm. So then I stopped that. Like sort of abruptly, and then I started working with Beyonce's team in like creative direction and costume design.
Is there anything you can tell us about Beyonce?
Right, I'm like now
everything,
ears,
you know,
my ears say perched, but now they're really like.
But you know, you say that in a sentence, and the only thing people hear is Beyonce.
I mean, it's great. I mean, it was great working on projects. I would say working on that, it just sort of like teaches you a sort of like a thing of like, okay, somebody's going to hit you up and you're going to need to like produce something like overnight. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. But it was really interesting. And I would say just amazing seeing her in her element, like seeing her in a rehearsal performing, you know, and you're just like looking right there, really incredible.
And I know that one of the exact suits that you did was the title show.
Yes.
Which she did one song, I want to say.
Yeah,
title.
She wore, it was like the suit,
like,
right.
The one where she like ripped the earring out and was bleeding and she had the ponytail.
The ponytail.
But then the gold suit.
Then
she did she did All Night and she had the gold suit on. Yes. And then I designed that gold suit.
That was him.
Yeah, that is fire.
Thank you.
Wow.
That pattern of that fabric was amazing. Like, I would want to wear that suit. Oversized.
Like, over a weekend, we was like shopping in the garment district and was like, that's the fabric, whipped the suit up. And then they called me.
It was so regal.
And they were like, come see it. And I'm just like, oh my God, like she has it on like right now.
Wow.
So that was really like an amazing moment.
To, that's
like,
incredible.
See you just make something, sketch it, make it, and then wow, she has it on.
Tomorrow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Like it's incredible. I remember we were working on, you know, to make sure that we would get a lot done. We just had made like tons of costumes. And a friend of mine, a designer, we like slept overnight in the Barclays Center. Working. Just like making, like still working on something. But then the main look that we thought she wanted wearing. So it was exciting.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah. You mentioned also, you know, like trying to tie your name, like when you had the line and like trying to tie your name to you know, everybody does want that like touch point of, oh, well, you worked with this person or that person.
Right.
Do you think it's easier now? Because it's, you know, when you think of like all of these old designers and these streetwear brands, sometimes I feel like it's like a little flash in the pan, and they'll give you the funding just to say like that we support it, and then a major yeah. brand is just going to steal all the ideas from that.
I think it's like you now in the climate that people are working in now, I think that they benefit both ways. That even if someone is coming and like, because Instagram like shows everything that you're doing to everyone,
mm-hmm.
even if someone's coming and they're seeing, they're knocking you off, you're still getting so much attention that promotes you personally. You know, as the person who's designing it, you still get, you know, speaking engagements and appearance fees and consultancies. Like Instagram, I think, just makes it so much easier. To me, before, like, you know, doing a brand, we would be meeting with the magazines to sort of get a website mention mm-hmm. in an article.
Wow.
You know, and that was the way that you were sort of promoting yourself of like, oh, we're going to get a write-up, a blurb. With at the end saying
of the article
soandso.com.
Yeah.
That was the way that like, oh, we're gonna promote ourselves. Whereas now you don't even need to do that. You don't even right. have to ever meet with a magazine, really. You can just be promoting and building your audience online.
Is Instagram more important than magazines now?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think they both have a legitimate place. Instagram is great, but there's nothing saying it's not filtered through anything.
Yeah,
you put it out,
very true.
You find your audience, that's great.
Well, I think that's why, you know, I see both sides of the coin on this argument. Like, whenever an artist puts out something and they be wanting you to put the DP and the stylist and the photographer,
yeah.
and while I get it, like, the artist is paying for you, but not really. It's more so the company. And so I get when artists are just like, bitch, I don't want all that shit under my photo. And actually, it looks crazy. I got
right.
a whole paragraph of people.
Right.
But on the flip side, I get the designer and the makeup artist and all these
yeah,
people.
Because it's also how they get work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a part of that.
I always say if Rihanna could do it, you could do it.
Mm,
come on
okay.
now.
But
also, I think that also begs the question. Rihanna probably has one team. So of course she can, because they're like a family. If I'm on a shoot for one magazine and everybody's new, it's like if I'm an artist, I'm sorry, I probably
she
don't
has
care
a team.
That.
But if she works with a magazine, then the team is different because that like that stylist is doing it. Like she might bring around like a hair person or a makeup person, but there's still like other people who created that concept, different things that also like need credit because people will assume that the people who are in her core team did that, and if they did a magazine, they may not have necessarily done that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good point.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I just feel like if they could do it, I mean, sometimes there's artists that are like, you know, not even popping like that, who are yeah. just like, oh, I just want to put.
It's like the audacity.
I just want to put one like, word.
An emoji.
Right. Or I just want
to
put, oh, I'm in
you
this
need
magazine.
To put this paragraph.
And it's like,
okay.
You right. think this, and the thing is that if it's in a magazine, a lot of times people were unpaid.
Mm.
You know, because editorial doesn't really pay.
It
helps you get the other jobs
yeah,
that
right.
do pay. So that's what I'm saying is that if it's magazines, like, especially put it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
right.
if it's your music video, you don't necessarily have to put it all, although it's helpful, but you've often paid everyone.
Right.
And I mean, this might be a lot in this day and age where everybody's out for themselves and don't care about the next person next to them, but like paying it forward, like,
yeah.
yes, it does come across as maybe, I guess, tacky, for lack of a better word, to have
how is it tacky?
Long thing
like,
underneath
you know,
your page.
All the like, long,
I don't mind it. I think
word,
if anything,
to,
like my thought behind it all is it's really helping someone else out,
right? And to, that's and that's
yeah.
why I'm
because
saying,
I'm that
like,
person
I,
that clicks on the credits, I guess, if
yeah,
you will.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching the TV show, I'm watching the credits.
I want to see
so
how
I'm
all of this
going
came
to those
to
pages,
life.
Right,
yeah.
to see like what else has these people worked on,
and also you want somebody to do that
for you, right?
Exactly. These same artists would never do anything where a brand was only posting them and moving on. They would it would be clearly saying this is featuring so and so in their
yeah
project.
And I think that it's just laziness.
Mm-hmm.
That's it also. I think it's just purely
an aesthetic.
And I think there's a misconception also that like you're making all this money and that like I said, that 1 month where I wanted to be a stylist, I was like, oh no, this is not it.
Not
like
month.
1 month. It was just very, very short lived. I was like,
yeah, it's mostly schlepping as a job. Like
you
just schlepping around clothes and spending a huge amount of time on email just in the requesting of the clothes,
yeah,
just emailing, like, you know, for a 24-hour period, you know, and then when you're pulling, you know, from overseas, you're like staying up overnight. You know, like just trying to stay on the different time zones so that if people have a question or want to know what you want, that you can respond in time and not waiting until you wake up to.
You're not going to get that look, sis. You might not get that look today.
Right, you need to respond and then pack it and then ship it in time.
It's not glamorous. It's one of those jobs that you think it's like, oh, you so fly, you're on set and you get to be around all these amazing people. And it is literally the complete. And like you said, you in Vogue for $300. Mm-hmm. Like, editorial does not pay.
And an indie magazine, there's even times in which for your idea, you know, like you have creative control. So for your idea to come to fruition, you are paying for that shoot.
You yourself. If it's your idea.
As a stylist, mm-hmm. like, okay, yeah. okay, this magazine doesn't have money to, but they're going to publish my work. So then I'm going to pay for like all the shipping, or if I want to have something custom made for the shoot, you're paying for that yourself. You know, everyone sort of comes to it. The photographer's paying for their part. And the artist is sometimes, I work with artists who wanted a specific, their particular team, and they've flown them cross country on their dime to make sure that like everybody's coming together in that way. Wow. But yeah, it's definitely, and that's why you do it, because it's a trade-off. You do the styling jobs in the magazines so that you are in front of the eyes for the ad companies mm-hmm. or for the commercial jobs, which give you a ton of money for doing not as much.
What's an example of a commercial job?
Like, if you see a Gap campaign, and it's just really like a t-shirt and a jeans, they're hiring like the highest stylist, like the highest level stylist.
Of clothes that they already have and created, right?
Right, and they already have the clothes, and they just want to make sure that you're just going to arrange it in this chic way. But they're hiring for that job, like one of the most biggest stylists in the business to do that very simple ad. Wow. And they're getting a lot of money for that.
It gets easier the higher you go up, so they say.
Yeah. You know, more assistants, but you know, like Lorianne says, there's always a new kitten ready to lick that milk. So it's a blood sport.
Always a new kitten ready to lick that milk.
I mean,
it's
but
a blood
I didn't,
sport. It's not easy.
Yeah, and I didn't even know to almost look at a magazine as every page is an ad.
Yes.
And hearing you describe that, like, essentially, if I'm not getting paid to creative direct this shoot and I'm here, but my name is there, it's just an advertisement at that
point.
Right.
And then a lot of times, a lot of magazines are doing shoots that are just like a long form advertisement. Like, all the credits are just one brand saying, you could do a shoot with us, and then we're going to just provide you just our clothes, and mm-hmm. we're going to pay, like, we're going to subsidize that shoot. Mm-hmm. So it's just more and more like advertising. You
come
know,
on behind the scenes.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
It's not pretty. But, you know, people come into it and they see like, oh, people doing shoots and this is exciting. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of schlepping. And you just got to be, you know, emailing, carrying clothes, you know, dealing with a lot of stress to have that one moment of seeing your creativity come to life. And the same with designing.
What a moment.
I always tell people with fashion is that if you feel like on your deathbed, you will feel like, I regret that I never pursued this course. If you don't feel like that, you feel like I could do other things in life to be happy and I'll be fine. I'll just go buy the magazine or watch a fashion show and
then
enjoy it.
Then do that shit.
Then do that. If you feel there's something else that you can make it through life with, go do that.
I feel like that about entertainment in general. Like, I really just want to be like a bank manager. And I want to be Tasha from Insecure.
And just live a simple life.
Actually, no. I mean, no, not simple. But simple. But yes, like just be like. But then I probably wouldn't be able to do all that. So.
But I think it's sometimes having a simple life, right? But with fabulous friends, and then you can, then they will bring you along in the
you
cute
can figure
moment.
Figure out a way to bob and weave yourself into it.
Right. Okay. I'm going to be at the cute moment on the weekend or after work, but like my job during the day is just regular chill 9 to 5. I get my money, I go home.
Who is your fashion girl then? Let's say you are the bank manager and you're finding it's a someone on IG, like an artist or whatever. Who is your person that you're weaving in and out of
to be like,
and they have to be well dressed?
There's a I have a friend, Amanda, London girl in NYC. She's like
follow her.
We love
you know,
her.
Like, she's not
Oprah
bringing me along or whatever. But she's a girl that I know, like, she's going to show up dress to the nines.
Yeah,
to the every 11. Time.
If she's coming every time. Out to that, she's coming proper.
Yeah, everybody has their
is
like.
Is she rich?
Their...
I know nobody's personal finance.
Look, I'm like, this
is
going
to be. Them pieces. I'm assuming like that she's getting them gifted, though.
Hey, probably.
No, I mean,
I'm
I mean,
just in her some pockets. Of them. But this know, is me being.
I know that the true fashion people. The true yeah. fashion people are. You know, of course you're getting gifts, but you are buying your clothes.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of people that, you know, like they don't got no clothes. They only got shoes, you know, because it's like you get gifted less of that. Mm-hmm. So they like, you know, they get a lot of free clothes, but they have to send that outfit back. Yeah. But if you're really trying to build a wardrobe and you really love clothes, you are buying clothes.
Mm. You know who buying okay. clothes? Monica. Monica.
Yeah, Monica she's buys for sure clothes.
Buying drapes.
She buys clothes.
You know who yeah. ain't buying clothes? Carisha. That bitch has a Poshmark. And that is my yeah. that was my side hustle. It's fucking Poshmark.
You know, I always say it depends not, on what you love. Sometimes you don't love clothes that much. You just want to look nice when you go out.
She getting the nigga to right. buy for her. And then right. she getting the money back. I said, Carisha. She posts the outfit on Instagram. I'm not mad at it. I said,
Carisha is
it.
Such a bird.
I don't need it no more.
Yeah, she is yeah. just like,
I got my picture.
And I'm still going to sell it.
Absolutely. I got my picture in it.
No, I love the girls who buy their clothes and like truly love clothes. Yeah. You know, like you know that you kind of can tell the people
that's
who are
also Dorit from Real Housewives.
She buys her clothes. Yeah, she definitely buys her clothes. Yeah. I wish she would buy less stuff. Of just the same brand.
The same.
Like, yeah. it would just show, like, what she likes, what she's about. Right. Like,
you don't like
her
in the full Louis Vuitton look?
I just think if it's one time, okay. But it's
she,
all
she
the time.
She repeats every
it's actually
she does.
A designer
every time
she films. A season. Yeah. Like, one season she wears Versace all the whole season. Yes. Then one season she wears Vuitton the
I
whole
season. I did not
season,
even realize
and
that.
And I'm just like, can you mix it up? Like, can you go to more than one store?
No, just this year.
Oh my god.
No, we'll see Balenciaga yeah, next
most,
season
the most recent season it was a lot of Dior.
Right, she just goes in like you just see like Dior logo outfits over and over again. I'm like,
and it's like logo, it's like
yeah. always logo, like mix it up, have some things, you know,
like I like to see if I don't even know that it was you yeah. know right. Chanel
yeah right. buy some vintage, buy some new things, mix it up, let me know what your personal style is.
I mean, I don't think she has one, but that's my favorite, like back to the IG, the IG fashionistas, yeah, because I like have a few. I mean, we can't really consider Aisha Tira or whatever, but
oh,
you know, I love
she
her.
Continues.
I love how she dressed. I love, I mean, personal style.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
when she puts on something, I know it's for her.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Nobody else would want.
Like
it.
No, I mean, uh-huh. some people would want it. TT, right.
but she makes clothes look so good. Though.
Yeah, she makes right. it look
like she's also her body though.
Yeah, certain builds are just like it's gonna fall easy.
Right.
Yeah, and you can put on most things. Like the more that's why I sometimes with clients, the more you sort of like curate a body that is like just insane naked, the harder that it will be for you to be dressed.
Wow.
Because the clothes are just not made for those proportions. Like, would you wear a bathing suit and everybody's like, bam, bam, bam. Wow, you're killing it. It looks amazing. But then when you actually have to get dressed, then you're only, like, limited to stretch items.
Mm.
Come on, designer.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I feel like the BBL community can only wear legging shit.
That waist ratio just doesn't exist in real life.
It does not. Yes. I saw like a pair. It's like I don't have no huge ass, and like I can't. It's hard for me to find like certain jeans. So I guess I was on this girl's page who had like made Levi's, but they look like them little Oshkosh bagashes when you were fucking baby.
Yes, where you gotta pull the strap.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not wearing that.
But you got some jeans, right?
Hell, not though. They don't look cute. No, yeah. They literally look like a baby.
They don't look
and the
cute,
pockets
horrible.
Look weird, and they taken out it's all the scrunched. Loops. It's just all yeah. weird. It's like all the details are like smashed. It's like, it's all weird.
Zara jeans. That's why they're actually my favorite.
People
shit.
Love Zara jeans.
I do
yeah.
too.
The stretch is really good. Jeans. Like, it's, I, well, the thing I like about their items that they, if you buy like a basic like that, is that it has the stretch, but it doesn't look like a jegging.
Mm. Yeah, right. Because
even
like,
the men's jeans have
stretch.
Yeah,
look like.
Stretch, and you can live in it.
Actually,
and enjoy,
I'm judging them. But, like Charlotte yeah. Russe, like jeggings. Like
there's limits. I mean, like I'm a believer in high low existence in all
for
things.
For sure.
Like okay, I wear my couture and I go get some McDonald's French fries.
Yeah,
like absolutely. I like everything. Like what's the best of everything? Like okay, McDonald's French fries
anything
is amazing.
Life's about
amazing.
Balance.
Right, and then I want the best clothes and. mix it all together. So I believe in sort of going to every store because everything doesn't need to be expensive. And I think that it's almost like eating a meal that's like caviar, foie gras, this, that. It just gets like too much. And you need a little bit to like balance things out so that you can like take it. Sometimes you need to knock an item down. Like, okay, just knock it down with like a more casual pant that you bought inexpensively, but then put like a really luxe top or coat over it. So it's like a juxtaposition.
Well, you know, that is Didi's whole mission. He's that sustainable is poppy
everything
over
that
here.
I wear. What someone has worn it before.
Really?
Because there's just no new clothes.
Wow.
And how long has it been? 2 years now? A year?
Like a year.
Okay.
Well, a little less than a year. I'd say almost a year. It'd be a year in, I'd say, September.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
I love vintage shopping. Like six, it's really months. Good.
Yeah.
Especially for men in like Los Angeles. Mm. Like there's so many good items because look, no offense, like, nobody dresses. So,
no, they,
so the items,
oh, I'm not
so the fire no items does, are I sitting there less, waiting actually. For you to get.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
okay,
so, yeah. Often I see things and I'm like, this would never be sitting on the rack.
That's
where
I found. I found FUBU in LA. Like, I bought two jerseys.
I haven't thrifted there since I've lived there, and I'm like, man, I should probably actually see what I could find.
The
and
flea now markets, the stores, this, every like time really I find amazing things. People don't really dress up.
No,
you know they don't at all. They're in their car. There's no like people dress up in New York because there's street action.
And you're gonna be walking down the street from the moment you leave your house to the moment you come back.
Even if you're in an Uber, there might be a little bit that you gotta walk along the street and you're gonna look fly. But in LA it doesn't really have that, so people don't really get dipped like that.
Yeah.
It's so very
the items are
culture.
In the stores.
Well, that's good to know. Next time I go there, you know, half the suitcase.
But I think, obviously, you know, we've talked about your sustainable fashions, but like I was reading.
Ooh, now we talked about it too much.
Huh? No, I said we've talked about it before.
Not as good. All right, bitch, we done talked about it.
No, I'm messing. But it was like Shein and all those, you know, like all those companies, like everybody is raising their prices because I think, like, literally, Shein is making like billions of dollars. And I was like, what?
I see it all the time on IG Shein, like just
that's
like advertising.
It,
But I didn't know people were really buying that stuff.
TikTok videos really show it when the girls are like,
when they take what they get,
hat Shein, dress Shein, coat Shein, shoe Shein.
Yes,
like
they're
buying the entire look from Shein.
They are.
Is it Shein? Look, I'm like, is it Shein?
Wait, is it Shein?
I'm not sure. The other day I was thinking about it.
Please turn it to a luxury brand. We are like Shein.
That's what I thought.
The other day I was thinking
too.
To myself, I was like, Shein. Is it like a thing where like we're making it Shein?
I
like,
to be chic, spread,
but is it but is it Shein? Like she's
Shein
in style?
Would be
oh,
not Shein.
I thought the Shein was Shein.
Yo, flex bombs. Shein? Wow. She's in a look.
It's called after Shein. It's because my cousin gave me one for my birthday, right? I went on there.
Gave
I was
you
like, what?
Like,
the fuck? A Shein.
Gift card?
Gift card.
I don't know what it is. I'm just saying.
Shein, and it was cool.
I still got a gift card. Oh, please trust and believe I'm going to use it.
Not a virtual gift card.
It's worth your time.
But they have fucking like kitchen utensils. I was like, what in the hell?
I felt a little bad after I bought it. I did buy one dress and I was like, oh my god, like what 5-year old had to put this dress in the bag to ship it to me?
Like baby.
That was the first place my mind went to what child labor.
Do you know what was happening?
Did you know it was a fucking sweatshop? Yeah.
But all sweatshop activity. All those clothes at the end are going to the ocean anyway. So that's
the ocean, the landfill,
that little,
something.
That little 6-year-old better pack up whatever my little kitchen utensils, my new ones. I heard you could buy like tires off of there.
Oh wow,
now
I didn't know
even
that.
Even more confused that it's called.
From fast fashion, I believe in you buying disposable basics from fast fashion because again, I wear this tank top a few times. Out of here.
Yeah.
Like I always say, summer clothes, more fast fashion, less designer.
Absolutely.
Because
for
the
sure.
next season, it looks crazy, those items that you wear in the
summer.
Summer,
you really
destroys
have to buy
clothes.
New
you do
yeah.
every
you
summer.
You look at those
every
things,
summer.
You're like, this looks so dingy.
Yeah.
I always believe in no designer white.
I never
like, no
but,
white yeah. items in designer price points because it it oxidizes in the next season. It'll be like yellowy.
Yeah,
it's very never true. Like that white very again. True.
Yeah,
unless you package it. Like I literally like looked at something just 2 days ago because I was like looking on my summer side and there was this shirt that I like love and literally the collar's turning yellow. I'm like, why is it turning yellow? It was not yellow when I packed it.
Yeah, it's never that like bright white fresh like piece that you bought anymore. So like I always believe in like designer items that you want to have, like I never believe in like bright white unless it's made out of polyester and then it'll stay white.
The more you know,
right?
Because it's the synthetic polyester. Fibers, it won't turn.
Y'all know I'm still gagging on the name of that store being called Shein. Like, I just know everybody dressed like Euphoria. I feel like all the everything looked like fucking Euphoria. I'm like, where are them damn girls going in their little like polyester outfits?
I think now I'm like high school must be so different nowadays because you could really buy a look for cheap.
You know,
like, but back then, like, it was only certain stores. Like, I mean, I remember going to school and that was like pre-Zara, pre-H&M.
Same.
And you were just okay.
Rave,
like,
579.
I remember girls, you know, go in those stores. Roos. What's the other one? What's the Joyce Leslie?
That was a New York thing. So when I came here,
y'all, like Rainbow. I'm from Middle America, child.
Come on, Rainbow.
We didn't have shit.
Joyce Leslie had like the style. Okay. Like if you wanted like the look of the time.
She was Shein.
Yes, like that was the store equivalent. Like you had Rainbow, but Joyce Leslie was more like in the style.
Okay.
And then for a moment in New York, we had this store called Bang Bang, and that was like if you were going out at night, they had the look. Like, period, you could buy it there. But still nowadays, people can buy, like, the full look that looks like the actual look from ASOS, from many people.
Oh, I used to love me some ASOS. Like,
it's so much easier, I think, for people to look
became
at.
Sustainable.
You did love you some ASOS.
I mean.
So you don't miss new clothes at all?
To your point, though, the only time.
That's a great thing. Like, it is.
I still pop tags, but like, it's just from Goodwill.
It's just like,
I pop a tag and put it in the wash machine.
Right. Yeah. I would say, you're actually wasting water because you have to pre-wash everything.
But they wash it. I'm just doing a second wash, so I am wasting the water, I guess.
I know you know what. They
Well, water's recyclable because we clean it.
Hold on. Trader. Why am I saying Trader?
Goodwill's supposed to wash the clothes before they put them out. They're
wash
supposed
it where?
To. I don't know. I don't know how big.
They lying.
I don't know how big behind the scenes is at Goodwill.
I was like, they are. Goodwill ain't wash a goddamn thing.
I don't work there. I'm not in the back with the opening up. Like,
so what do you do with your items after you take them back to the Goodwill?
Yes. Yeah. So I actually need to go through my closet now. I've been saying it for weeks, but I just
that stacks up too. You're buying clothes.
You're
for
recycling.
Like,
right.
I'm just. You know, it's a full cycle. You know, you give and you get. I'm not going to keep taking. I'm also going to give as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a cycle. But to your point, though, that I was getting to, that the hard time is summer. It's so hard to do sustainable in the summertime just because the style has completely changed. Like, stuff that I wore 2 summers ago, I can't wear now. And that just doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like summer, the fashion changes much faster.
We're buying sustainable.
Fall.
If it's possible, like I even like in LA, I go to like the flea markets
And
look and find
flea
things.
Markets. But...
Yeah, they have really amazing things, especially in LA.
Okay.
But also,
what are you doing? This downtown LA?
Taylor.
You can go to Fairfax.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different ones.
Oh, Fairfax does have a lot of good thrift.
But I can't really tell.
Okay.
But
I heard that.
I'll holla at you later.
But I would say when you get the items, sometimes converting them to be the style is sometimes helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, if you get a shirt and it's like, you know, maybe a little bit too long, like, you know, maybe like early 2000s, you know, and if you like, oh, crop it, then it's suddenly like a Bottega item, you know, so you can like make a little adjustments to the vintage thing.
To make it your own.
You put a little $10 into your, you know, whatever tailor you trust and you can like update an item.
Okay.
You know,
have your little
look
crop
fresher.
Tops.
Right. Yeah. I do want to do a little crop top summer. So not crop, but like right at the waist.
Right at the waistline.
Yeah, just at the waist.
I support that.
You
can just cut that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
literally
with the,
just
but
right
the,
there.
When you go take it to Taylor, they're going to hem it properly. Right. Yeah. So it's not going to look like you were just at home. Like, we're about to go out. Let me hook this up.
Yeah.
It looks like you bought it that way.
Now, I've done that before too, and I just got that little, you know, stuff that you iron and then make the little instant glue.
Instant seam.
Yeah, instant seam.
But if you were a sweaty party, you could get caught out there.
Yeah. I had done pants like that, like my like uniform pants as like a kid, and you put that little seam up there
and just iron it and then like just hold it up like that one going a little bit too
far. Put on a little bit of starch. I don't think, don't nobody, I don't even iron anymore. I iron today.
You know what's different? I never really used that growing up because my family, everybody sewed. Like my mother sewed, my grandmother sewed. So it would be like, oh, we doing this. Can you hem this pant? Thanks.
So that, this was my grandmother, that was her, she made my like prom dresses, everything. She was trying to teach me, and it's actually my biggest regret that I did not learn how to sew. Like, you know, I could stitch a tiny little thing, but like, that I didn't learn from her, because I would be like trying to tie them up. Let's say it's like the day of, and you like, I gotta go right now. I'm like, if I would have learned how to do this, I wouldn't be taping up my shit with an iron right now.
Especially for women's clothes, you could be making a freakum dress in a few minutes.
It is. Right. It really is a lost skill of like, no one's a seam. I told you, she was making my Addie doll dresses because they were $50 for them damn dresses. Mm-hmm. So.
And I remember
Addie had a whole closet full of shit.
I like actually learned how to use a sewing machine in middle school. Like, we still had home economics class.
Mm-hmm. You had to learn how to thread the machine.
Yes, we had to learn how to thread a machine.
Thread the bobbin.
And to your point, that to this day, that is why I still know how to stitch, because that was the skill that remained, but I can't use a sewing machine.
We're losing recipes.
We're losing the damn recipes.
Like, I cannot think of one. I could think of a bunch of eyelash techs, but I cannot think of one seamstress.
People don't want to learn skills. Yeah. They like, you know, and even the people who are just like on Instagram, like, oh, I'm making jackets, I'm making jeans. They're not cutting it right. They're not finishing it right, because they never got like that proper training. They have like an innate ideas and taste and style that's their own, but they sometimes need a little bit more training to like finish things properly, fit things properly. So definitely we are losing lots of recipes.
Yeah. We're not making Tina Knowles no more.
No.
And before that it was Michael Jackson and Mama.
Who knew?
Making their fucking clothes.
It was like a similar dynamic.
You had nine kids. You weren't buying all them clothes. You was making them fucking clothes.
Mm-hmm. They going on stage. Yeah. You gotta get an outfit.
It was a beautiful documentary. While I do feel like the Janet Jackson documentary was beautiful, there's a lot of commercials and a lot of skipping over things.
I wasn't trying to go there.
A lot was missing.
They had to pay for the documentary, babe. They had to pay for the documentary.
They said, while I got your attention, there are some bills we need to pay.
This episode of The Oprah Rose Show has been brought to you by Walmart. Where being Black and unlimited is a celebration of being whatever we want to be. For me, being Black and unlimited means exploring all of my passions without barriers and restrictions. And being a mom reminds me that I have to be efficient with my time. So having Walmart as a resource to access all of my needs, whether I'm picking up a new hobby or engaging with an old one, grabbing all of the hair products I need for wash day at the same time, or simply grocery shopping, I know I'm in good hands. This Black History Month, be sure to celebrate all that you are. Celebrate being Black and unlimited, but be sure to do it with Walmart. Now, let's get back to the show.
I love her to death, but there was a lot missing. She still needs a whole other documentary.
We had to pay for Renee to get the footage from Renee.
Yeah. We really do need a whole other documentary. Yeah. There was so much stuff that, like, we didn't get into the Velvet Rope.
We didn't.
Which, to me, that's like one of them, that was glossed over.
Yeah. While I enjoyed it, I felt that the problem with the documentary is that it centered too much on how men in her life affected her life, as opposed to
all about
her creativity and like all those achievements that she achieved. But it was all about like, okay, let's go from one mess to the next.
It did show me that. I was like, I don't give a damn how much money you have, how much fame you have. I was like, bitches is dumb. And you could just continuously be in the same whatever. Yeah. And obviously it wasn't her fault. That's just life, you know. But I was like, you're not above it of like falling in and out of love. Mm-hmm. No matter who you are, you're still human.
Yeah. And you meet people that either sometimes care for you and sometimes don't. And you don't know until it's often too late.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes people are good at deceiving.
So you feel like Janet is a fashion icon?
Yes.
You said it so quick. Yeah. And I know why you did, just because you also, like, she also was doing a auction recently of her old, like, tour and video footage.
I bought the catalog.
And you bought the catalog.
Oh, you did?
Really?
I saw the little...
Actually, it's pretty amazing. Like, if you love Janet Jackson, it's like a box. Oh. It has, like, three books. And it's literally, like, when I was looking at it, I was like, well, what she have left?
Wow.
Because like, she said she kept some pieces, but it's like, what did you keep?
In there, like everything that you remember, every costume, her personal clothes, furniture. Because I saw
she
everything.
Put a lot of her old tour merchandise on the Real Real.
Yeah, I saw that.
$500 for a fucking velvet rope tour t-shirt, bitch. $475. I had to close out of that link. So I was like, all right, girl.
Original.
It was on the Real Real.
There was one I thought of, and I was like,
I would have thought about it.
I thought about it, and I looked at it.
It was a very quick and out. I can't.
I know,
do it,
but not for a t-shirt, $475.
It was like something for $275. There was one at $275. I was thinking about it, but I was like, this is a like. People who like make stuff like this is a Gildan tee.
Yeah.
Like this is like tour tees back then, which is on a raggedy t-shirt. Yeah.
Right.
So it might not even fit the same, but I'm thinking. Yeah.
So I was just like, nah, I'm good. But it was amazing to see. You know?
I thought it was still dope that she had some to still put out to sell. And that was kind of cool that like that she book, made it accessible. It's
tour jackets, like everything. Wow. Like she had so many things that she kept and held onto. Even the jewelry from a lot of the looks were also part of that auction.
Iconic. Yeah.
The books that you bought were like, it was just like a beautiful presentation. Like you opened the box and it's the like, box,
like a video. Plays,
yeah, it's a video that played. Yeah. I remember you did it on your IG stories. Yeah, speaking of your IG stories. I love when you do the, for artists, when you give them their flowers in terms of like how they grow with fashion. And so on this show, we love Monet Tejada and All My Tejadas. So you did one recently for Mary and Mary J. Blige for her birthday.
Love her.
And I look at you almost like, as like you said, an archivist, because what you do online is like you remind the girls of like where these references are from, and to your point, like the timing of like when these looks happened and what was going on during that.
Wow.
So
well, also because people like Mary, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Like she's never gotten her flowers as like a beauty icon.
I agree.
Like when she would do something, all the girls in the hood was like, noted. And they went, took that picture. Yeah. And,
right,
and
because they don't identify hood fashion as something that's like reputable, but will steal from it.
Yes.
To inspire additional, like, you know, Maison fashion. At least, and I'm not like a fashion girl, but that at least seems to be what I, at least it how I.
Oh, no, that is very
how I receive it.
Because Mary really is that girl, and she does.
Like, when it comes to flowers. like she has her look, that's her look. But when it comes to like hair and beauty trends, like she was leading the girls.
I've taken a picture in that comment, come close, and was like, I know my hair cut just like this.
Yeah.
Like,
come on, come flicks. Close.
Like, and she remember she had the off the shoulder red like tracksuit.
The little wisp with the little
She was wearing Bottega Veneta sunglasses in the 911 video with Wyclef, and I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Bottega.
Mary was always, like,
she's been that girl.
It was like, what, 2000?
Yeah.
Like,
we talked about Misa, I think, last episode. Like, we got to get
when you watch
Misa,
Family Affair and you look at those looks, she's a risk taker.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want a bob and it's going to be all different lengths.
That hair
it's
was a mess.
Black and white. Right.
But you know it when you see it.
You know it when you see it. And that's what you have to be as an artist. You have to be you have to be confident enough to like look a little crazy sometimes because that's how you cut through the clutter. Like the people who don't step out and like make a statement who are just like, oh, I just want to look pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are never remembered as a look because they just look nice and you know them, you know, like whereas Mariah, like it would be rare for somebody to wear something that they would walk through this door and you would say, you look like Mariah right now.
Yeah, there's not one outfit. Yeah.
They were very conscious about her image coming out. She was
like,
very
we're
going to
stamp out this moment. We're going to make this statement. And it's different from what we were making last year.
Right.
We're doing this now. We're on this now. And it helps you cut through the clutter because there's so many artists making statements, but it allows you to stand out separately.
Mm-hmm. Who else do you think stands out now?
Now? I think that Summer Walker is interesting. I feel like she's still refining.
Yeah,
what
that is interesting.
where you went first,
I was like, right.
So Summer, you like her new haircut?
I don't think that she's at her final like form of like which she's going to be, because I feel like she's trying to break through certain things that like have been like foisted upon her. Like, okay, you're like a black woman this time. Okay, let me get the like Atlanta look. Let me get the wigs, you know, with the baby hair. But I think that she's more and more leaning on like what she likes, whatever, however weird that may be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before that, she wasn't even that. She was just like, I don't even know that she really had an identified look.
I feel like she needs to push a little bit more, kind of, like, and have and meet with people who can take, oh, this is what I'm thinking, and refine that. Yeah. I still think that that's needed, but I think that she's at least on her way to, like, making
statements. I'm not mad at it. I don't like her haircut per se, meaning, like, I don't like it because I don't like it from the sense that I would ever get it. Mm. But I like that she is getting something that she wants. And she is an artist.
Seems a bit rebellious,
she's not
but
restrictive. She don't got to clock in at work. She don't got to go to McDonald's and have to justify or, you know, whatever.
There's no one that could tell her, like, you can't come in here like this.
She's like, no, I fucking sing, I write, I arrange music, I put tattoos on my face, I'm going to be an artist.
That's why I want a tattoo on my face so bad, but I just can't do it. Because
so when Summer artist. Walker put out the, you are not putting no damn tattoo on your face, I can't even
fucking do it. For 2 weeks
and see what it look on. Like? Okay.
Where would it be?
We can move on.
No, I want to hear this. No. We can have it over
So I've envisioned having a tattoo above my eyebrow on the side of my...
Who you killed? Look, I'm like,
bro, this is on the side, though. Right here where my sideburn is.
I promise you can't ever see it.
Yeah, but that was my...
I like that, though.
Okay.
But that's like when I turn 40 and it's like, oh, bitch, what you going through?
Okay.
I think we're living in a different time, though, that's a little bit weird in that not so many people are like... carving out their image because everyone is doing the same thing. Because
we're all on social media and we all looking at what each
other's doing. Everybody dresses exactly. We all dress exactly alike.
I'm so tired of it.
Everybody's doing the same thing. And then we're in this weird thing where I think it's a little bit more time has to pass. But if you think of like even in R&B, like the girls who are like bubbling up, who people are like, you know, like the Ari Lennox and, you know, SZA, who I love, you know, there's a like a big chasm between them and then like Rihanna and Beyonce. Yeah. It's like super far. It's not like, oh, like they're here and then there's these girls and there's these girls. It's like everybody's down there and then there's like these two up here. And I just think it's like because of the times.
Not capitalism and music.
Everybody's not like, everybody's not carving out their like image singularly to like make those moves that will like get them closer to that.
And they're also completely different artists. You know, I think, you know, the artists of now, like have, or I would hope, have way more autonomy than
they do.
This picture, which is why, you know, Rihanna, you know, the whole Good Girl Gone Bad and all that, like, there's still this image that they have to uphold. And like, the new girls are not, I mean, you know, SZA went and got her little body done, which I think looks amazing.
She looks amazing.
It looks like, send the doctor, sis. Like, send it on over. Please. But like, you know, how I feel like she started out and was like very insecure and like dressed in all the oversized, like damn near skater clothes.
I feel like it's kind of still there, though.
I feel like she has a little bit of a thing.
Refined. Yeah. And I feel like she's still sexier. Like, she wasn't wearing, you know, some of that other stuff of like the
a trained pole dancer.
You said what?
A trained pole dancer.
A trained pole dancer. Mm-hmm. Like, the body is
But if you think about pole dancing, it's like how many girls are also doing it?
Right.
You know, you have twigs. You have, you know that Cardi and Summer both worked in strip clubs. So, you know, they also know how
to do it
as well. So it's just like, there's not enough differentiation between the people of like, I only do this and I don't do that. Right.
But then that also says for the amount of people, I think that's the other part too.
What do you mean?
Where it's like before, let's say if Janet wanted to do a little pole dancing, it would have just been Janet. Maybe Madonna would have copied it too. But it wasn't so many other girls where that could have been a common denominator around performing on
the
pole.
There was other girls in the game, but they had also carved out
their own individual.
So they were like up here, and then there was like other girls down below who were doing their thing. But the way, without Instagram, without the internet, you don't really know what the other person is doing. You're just working with your team, carving your thing, and you don't see it until they put it out.
So I think that's a lot of things.
For your next project. Mm-hmm. But if you're all working at the same time coming out, you have no choice but to do your own thing.
That's very true.
Because
we need way more individuality. We lost the recipes.
We knew who Brandy was and we knew who Monica was. And they were not the same person
at
all.
We knew who Aaliyah was.
They were the same like peers of each other, but they were totally different girls.
Right.
Very true.
And we liked them all for like, when I want to feel like this.
But if there were, to your point, if it was social media and they got to see what each other were doing in that creative process, they kind of would have been a bit more similar.
Oh,
it would have merged
them a little. I'm going to hire them next week.
Right.
And then you just get the same thing.
How do people manage without Instagram, though? Like, not manage, but in, it's so much easier to know who people are, to your point of the hairstylist, the makeup stylist, to be able to just find them. A
community of people, like, right. You know, saying, okay.
Yeah, I was like, getting back to people talking. You know how so many times you just talk to people through Instagram, you think they're good, or, you know, you, as opposed to be like, no, how really are you?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. just that simple, like, this episode is called Losing Recipes, because we really are.
We are.
You don't even pick up the phone. It's something that, like, I'm going to call you, because, right, again, the artist community is so small, my people are going to get in touch with your people on some Hollywood shit.
Just overall, as a concept, Losing Recipes is the fact of what it is, because unless those people are training somebody under them, like having like a protege that they're teaching all the little things, when they die, so does all their expertise with them. Like, it's just a dead end. You know, unless they left books of recipes, you know, for people to go back and check it out, it's a dead end.
Wow.
What they accumulate.
Yeah,
I know, because I mean, you think of like all the unfortunate passings, and it's like who is the next, you know, whether it's designer, you know, big creative influence, and I don't, you know, obviously time will tell what that is going to be, but you know,
there's some young designers that are like really interesting. You know, Telfar is not really like exactly like a young designer, because he's been in it over 10 years, but in addition to like the popularity of his bags, he can actually design and has a really interesting point of view as far as like sort of like a democratization of fashion, and that like fashion for everybody, but everybody at different levels. You know, like, okay, if you want to buy a bag, you could get in at $150. Mm-hmm. But then if you want to buy an outfit, like there's other levels that you can get in, but it's still like it's not prohibitive.
Other expensive levels.
Right.
Because his clothes are so good, but I'm like, ooh.
Right. If you want to spend $300-something, $400-something, you could get in and you can get your items. Mm. But he can actually design and has a point of view, and you know his clothes without there being like a logo on them. But then other designers also too, like Christopher John Rogers.
I hated that Target collection, but
you didn't.
I wanted to love it so bad. My dumb ass went the day it dropped, and I was like, "This shit is horrible." Like,
you know, it's a thing when you're doing those things. Some people will go crazy and love it,
and I saw it on some people and it looked good, but like,
but it depends on what you were looking for from that designer.
Right. I was looking for runway shit. I was looking for the shit
not
that
Target.
I cannot afford. Like, no, but it was so completely different that I was like, oh no,
I think the thing is that what kept it in synergy with what he does, and that it was strong in color. But if you wanted like, oh, his tailoring or corsets, that wasn't there. So that you know, they did what they could do at that price point.
Come on.
Which was his color. That's like his signature using color. So I just like designers that, you know, like if you saw somebody walking down the street, you'd be like, they probably got on so and so. You don't gotta peeking the tag. But it's all about individuality and saying what you want to say.
Yeah.
You know, what are you about?
Yeah. I mean, I just hope there is a legitimate changing of the guard, and not just saying like, oh, we're going to back you and we'll give you money for this and the resources, but like actually putting Black designers in positions of positions of power.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I think it's definitely coming. I mean, you know, when we see Virgil when he was at Louis Vuitton, like that was, you know, like that broke a lot
for
of ground.
Sure.
You know, even no matter what people thought of him and his work, still him being at that company at that height
and
people that he brought in with him changed a lot of things, you know, as far as what companies feel could work for them and can make them money. Because at the end of the day, that's the most, they're like, okay, I'm bringing this Black designer for optics, but if you keep in that register blinging, he's like,
then we need to stay this way.
And if you've seen any of his releases, his clothes sold. You know, he was speaking to a customer that wanted to buy what he made.
Yeah. For sure.
And especially like Black female designers. Like, I feel like I'm not seeing enough women, Black women at that height in terms of.
There are great ones. They just are, you know, like sort of like still bubbling under. There's Grace Wales Bonner in London. She has like an Adidas collab that often comes like each season. They make like items from her, and those are really great items. Like they're like really, if you like Adidas, they have the traditional like Adidas elements, but the colors are really cool. The fabrics are really cool. And then there's one Black woman also overseas, Martine Rose. And she makes amazing menswear.
She does.
Really, really dope items. Mm. So, you know, but there hasn't been so many in America. But I like Hanifa. In D.C.?
She's in D.C., I'm trying to go to one of her shows. I feel like I should be on the list, Hanifa. What's up if you're listening, girl?
You gotta have the Baltimore girls in the house.
Right. Look.
We can do that.
She had a show a couple months ago, and I was like looking at the people who were posting. I was like, damn, I wanna be there and see these pieces. Cause she did something really, really dope in the beginning of the pandemic where she introduced a show that had the models walking, but I guess it was green screen
virtual fashion show.
3D or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, of course, people going, you know, copy and mimic, but that was just such a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. And to see black bodies in those, like you could tell the women that were wearing these clothes were black kind of
thing. She has a great line. I mean, and she's really making great pieces. There was a piece that she just posted the other day and it's just like this.
That's in itself.
Like a strapless dress. And I was like,
yeah, that yellow one.
Yeah, I was like, anybody would want that. That dress is fab.
I wanted the pink one with the frills. And I actually, it's like a knit situation.
Yeah.
That shit is sold out. And it's not cheap.
Right. No. But she's showing that there's a market. There's people who are like wanting things from this perspective.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying is that eventually a company will be like, oh, we see her doing this and she's building this business. She could do it for us.
Yeah, bring her over here. I just hope it's sooner than later.
So do I.
So we have our ending show questions. Okay. What would you tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to keep going and to just be more of a pest with people. Like going after what you want, like annoy them until they tell you you could do it. Mm. You know, sometimes I feel like sometimes when you know you can do something and you know you do it well, like you will take like the first no or the first like ignoring. I was like, oh, okay, like, all right, like I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know I could do this. I feel like sometimes people who aren't that talented don't know. So they just be like going after and they will get through because they're just persistent on this thing. But they don't often have, they have the, like, sort of like an unfounded confidence. And they will just, you know, go after what they want and it'll break down some doors easier, faster.
Mm. I can actually think of people on that. Like
all
that.
Right. Right now.
And then final question is, what do you know for sure?
What I know for sure is that Black people are resilient.
Very true.
And they will always, no matter what the limitations are, whatever the restrictions, they will sort of find their way around it to the light, you know. So that's one thing that I certainly know for sure. And I find like affirming as well to see, you know, people being, you know, dealing with so many things and having so many cards dealt against them, but still like showing through their brilliance and ingenuity, you know, that I have a reason for being here.
Mm. In Black History Month.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Black History Month.
Yes. I love that.
I love it too.
Because you know one thing Black people going to do is we going to dress.
Hello.
Through anything.
Anything.
Because we always got to look our best.
No budgets. Budgets don't look, matter.
Look like what I've been through now.
Okay.
Right, exactly. Can you imagine? Right. Your grandma.
But I thought of that
you.
Recently too, and that like in a little bit of Black people's like love of dressing and putting on their best, not only is it built up in the church system, but also through racism.
Yes.
In that, okay, I don't want to be perceived. I'm already being perceived as less than. Right. So let me show you through my clothes that I'm better than. So it's like a sort of like a reaction, like a knee-jerk reaction to that. Like, oh, I can't be going out the house looking crazy.
Right, because you already think of me in one way.
Which so like going to the store, you're going to be looking at me as like, oh, she, you
and
know.
Black families, they always say, you are representation. Don't, or my mother would say this, my grandmother, don't be embarrassing me. Like, what I'm doing got to do with you. Right. But absolutely.
Every Black kid knows
does.
You ain't going out the house with your head looking like that.
No.
Right. You better get in there and comb it up
and
better. You
that's
know?
Sometimes why, and I, listen, I, y'all know me, I always see two sides of a coin. But when people think, like, and yes, professionalism is rooted in whiteness. But I think there is something to be said about just whatever your best, it can be sweatpants. But, like, just make sure they're clean. Like, it doesn't, everything doesn't have to be, like, this big fight and, like, fuck the system. It's like, no, just fucking go look nice. Like, especially if it's a specific place. Like, you go to dinner and they require a suit jacket. Just, like, it's fine.
And if you want to wear the sweats with a suit jacket, that's fine. But
well,
long
you probably
to...
can't get it because there's literally, like,
you
no,
might.
But you can't.
It depends on how you wear it.
No, they won't. Like, Metros will not let you in. Metros didn't let me in. I'm a woman with sweatpants.
So oh, wow.
Like, they do not let you in. But certain things, it's like just, it's okay to dress for
like
the
that.
Yeah, dress for
just
the occasion.
Go somewhere else.
I don't respect.
I respect places like that as long as the rules apply to
everyone. Absolutely. Yes.
I was about to say, because
completely
hold that
agree
line
with you.
Across the board.
Yeah. Because you can't
board.
Let the white man in here with fucking khaki pants on
no,
and a t-shirt.
He gonna have on his Sperry's and his
You see videos, people were like, you wouldn't let me in the sneakers, and they got sneakers right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's definitely one of the I'm looking at everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, across the board. Where can people find you?
On Instagram at Shannon L. Stokes, which is more like more about my work and then like in the stories, silliness and you know, fun. And then on Twitter, at Shannon underscore sense. And that's
the Twitter's
really
where you need to go.
Yeah, that's the really like the madness. Like, you know, Twitter is a whole other animal. You know, I just try to like pick my battles. That's my main thing with that's Twitter.
And if he picked you for the battle, my lord, he gonna come. He gonna go to his fashion encyclopedias and read.
Well, this is what I would say is that like I, you know, like there's certain things where you just like people have dumb opinions and you're just like, okay, go ahead, be blessed with that dumb opinion. But there's certain things, especially when it comes to fashion and Black people, that I will try to push back against wrong opinions as far as the fashion business, because I don't want people to take these certain things as gospel and then go into work situations saying well, I know the way y'all be doing this, and be totally wrong.
Yeah.
So that's the situations where I try. There's a lot of racism in the business, but everything that gets called out is not for that reason. There's like blind spots and people working on things, and it's not always malicious. Yeah. It's often because not enough Black people are in the room to make that decision. Or sometimes Black people are designing things that you may not like or creating things that you may not like. And even if it's in a white publication, it's not that's just what they wanted to do. So I think that there's a lot of different decisions and a lot of different things happen. And more often, the situation is addressed more with nuance than just like painting everything with a broad brush.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is I don't like the misinformation about things that affect Black people that will make people sort of like feel away after they see somebody calling
it out. I'm glad you're doing the work. Me too. Okay. I tweet song lyrics, child.
And Twitter's a weird place in that people are building their followings based just off of calling out things.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it sometimes it can be lazy, and they see something and they're like, lazy. You see, that's what they be doing.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, and it's not always that.
Right.
Sometimes, yes, there's blatant things that need to be called out, but sometimes people are just building up their audience in the habit of calling things out and people just loving to pile on that because most likely this is what they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But often the reality is something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of the Twitter battles be about. But a lot of times, nonsense, you know, on there. It's a good time on Twitter. That's where everything happens first.
Everything.
That's breaking news.
Yes.
It does. Mm-hmm. Well, the quote, actually, there's going to be a series of quotes from Alex L., and it is three things I'm learning to accept. And this one is, I'm learning to accept that I can't love people into their full potential. It doesn't matter how much we value support and want the best for a person if they aren't ready to change, heal, or grow. Things will stay the same. This doesn't mean love people less. It's an invitation to love people.
No matter what.
Hmm?
No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Teach them. Thank you so much, Shannon.
A pleasure. It was fun.
Thank you.
You taught me.
Look.
I've learned.
Look, that's why y'all got to follow him on Twitter. Get all of the knowledge he has.
Have some fun on Twitter. It's a really great place.
It really is. It's tragic and awesome at the same time.
You often see duality. One behind each other.
Right, literally. One tweet after the next.
Let me respond to this one, too.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.